Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Day, the podcast that brings you New York football Giants content all day long. While your hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Don't forget to check out our print content at bigblueallday.com and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Adult content ahead, because you know, we're doing it live. Mac is on the mic. With me, we have Tracksuit Mike and Rahway Tommy as always. Boys, it is good to be back here with you, and we got football to talk about. You guys saw it live. The roster's taking shape. The moves are done. We've had lots of moves. Schedule's out. OTA's over. We are in camp.
We are back!
So much to sink our juicy little teeth into. But first, we got to look at some headlines, boys. There has been a lot of news while we've been out. And this is our segment, the return of Kick It or Stick It. So, Barkley's back, up first. Giants add sweetener to the franchise tag. Tommy, coming to you.
I'm going to stick it. Glad to have Saquon back. Glad to see him out on the first day. It looked good, running sprints, but you get him back in camp. He's 40% of your offense. The Giants never thought he wasn't important. It's just the market does not dictate giving all that money to the running back position anymore. He's here for 2 years, or he has a great year and it works out for us and he's traded. That's not what we want, but it works out best for the team. The security, a little security for Saquon, a lot of security for the team. And we have one of the best running backs in the NFL back and in camp on day one.
No, he stuck the landing.
Love it. Big win for Shane and the Giants and for Barkley. Up next, new linebacker Bobby Okereke loves New York City and always wanted to be a Giant.
I'll stick it. You know what? I'm glad. This is a man that was on the field for the other team the day that the Giants clinched their first playoff berth in several years. And I have to say, I'm sure that energy was crazy to see from home fans when he was in a visiting player. And I'm glad to have him. He's a huge upgrade. He's probably one of the best interior linebackers this team's had in quite a few years. I would say probably since I'm not sure. You know,
Michael Boley?
I was going to say Michael Boley. I wasn't going to put Antonio Pierce there. I was going to say Michael Boley. I think that's fair.
No, he stuck the landing.
Speaking of middle linebackers, inside linebacker Jerod Davis will miss the season after a knee injury at OTAs.
I'm going to kick it. He's not going to be here. We have other guys back. We have Okereke. Beavers is healthy, so let's focus on who's here and hope he gets healthy. Can I kick
it? Left tackle Andrew Thomas signs record-setting 5-year, $117 million contract.
All right, I have to stick this one. You know what? Andrew Thomas is officially locked up for 7 years. 7 seasons. He's a Giant. We don't have to worry about him. This contract is going to be of value in just a few years. Yes, it's a massive contract right now, but guess what? He deserves it. This is a guy who everybody, you know, after 1 year said, this is the worst of the four tackles. Like, they could have had Wills. They could have had worse. They could have had Becton. They could have had this. They could have had that. Listen, Andrew Thomas has solidified himself as the best left tackle of the class and a top 3 or 4 offensive tackle in the league. And I'm incredibly happy to have him. You know what? Yeah, Gettleman made a lot of mistakes, and Jason Garrett was the guy who banged the table for Andrew Thomas. I'm very happy to have him, and finally, long-term, high-quality stability at the left tackle position. God bless. Thank you.
No, he stuck the landing.
Let's go. Up next, Giants have signed running back James Robinson and wide receiver Cole Beasley.
I'm going to stick it. I also want to throw my replay flag, if I could do that, and go back a little bit to Andrew Thomas. And just, you know, having him here till 2029 is just great for Daniel Jones, the development of the offense. And it's going to be a bargain when all these other numbers start to come out with these other left tackles that we paid him early before all those other contracts. But I want to talk about James Robinson coming in, Cole Beasley. At first, you're looking at the Robinson signing as, okay, that's obviously depth because Saquon hasn't inked that deal yet, hasn't signed the franchise tag, but now he's there day one. James Robinson, you know, we drafted a running back in Eric Gray, and we brought Breida back. I think it affects Breida the most. If Robinson's good in camp and gets a good look, it could lead to maybe Breida being on the outs come the end of camp. The Cole Beasley signing, not a surprise. He's a guy that's familiar with the offense. We have a lot of wide receivers starting out on the PUP list, so he's definitely going to be depth, a pro that these young guys can look at and learn from when it comes to this, you know, Brian Daboll, Kafka offense. So, you know, I like the signings. I definitely would put my money on Robinson being with the team, breaking camp, you know, week one. Beasley, you know, probably depends how the wide receiver room shakes out during camp and during the preseason and everybody's health.
No, he stuck the landing.
Photos of Daniel Bellinger emerged, and this tight end looks like John Rambo.
I'm going to kick it, but I have to say he looks great today. The lighting did him a lot of good favors. That's what he said on Twitter to respond to the pictures.
Up next, Sterling Shepard, Wandale Robinson, Aaron Robinson, DJ Davidson, Marcus McKeithen, and A'shaun Robinson are the six Giants to start on the physically unable to perform list.
I'm going to kick it. We want him to get healthy. We kind of expected this with some of these guys. A lot of ACL tears on that list there. So, you know, get them back when they're ready to go and don't rush it. We saw what happened with guys coming back a little early, J.K. Dobbins, stuff like that. Make sure they're healthy.
Giants defensive tackle Rakeem Nunez-Roches, Nacho, is in concussion protocol after he was involved in a car accident, leaving the team facility on Tuesday.
I'm going to kick it, but I will say I'm glad that it wasn't a serious injury and that he's okay.
And lastly, the Giants have replaced the field at MetLife Stadium, but it's still not grass.
I'm going to stick it. It's the last one here. The field looked good at camp today. So if that's the turf that's going in the building, I'm sure they're practicing on the same surface they're playing on. It definitely beats the painted mud that we beat the Vikings on, 41-0. So if you're going to bring back grass, it needs to be perfect. You don't want it to look like a mess like that. So hopefully this turf's improved. They listen to the players, and I'm sure if it's not, we will hear from the players once again, and they'll have to figure it out, you know, going forward. But everything looked good today. Hopefully it cuts down on our injuries when we get rolling and on the field for games.
No, he stuck the landing!
And that will do it for headlines. And now a word from our non-sponsors, Deep Ellum Brewery. Are you a New York Giants fan living in Texas? Have you ever found yourself surrounded by Dallas Cowboy fans and the need to be shit-faced immediately just to get along? Don't worry. Deep Ellum IPA. Higher content than the piss water that they serve at AT&T Stadium when you need to be drunk to get away from some assholes. Deep Ellum. All right, boys, camp has begun. Let's just dive right into it. The depth chart is out of control in the most positive way possible. This team has been churning through the dumpster for years. I think we actually have some solid depth. So the biggest room of them all, I believe 14 wide receivers on this roster. 13 of them might be slot receivers, but let's get into it, boys. What are we talking about the wide receiver room in 2023?
I mean, I love it. I love it. I hope to see a big, you know, step up from guys like Isaiah Hodgins, especially. I think that we're only going to carry seven. And the big thing about this preseason that's different than the last, in the past was, I'm pretty sure it goes from 90 players to 53 players in like one day instead of like the gradual cutting. So like there's going to be some tough decisions to make. You know, we talked about Cole Beasley. He might not even make the team now. He is, you know, taking first team reps and everything. So I would assume that he probably will have some kind of role on this team moving forward. But I mean, there's a lot of question marks, you know, moving forward. And
Cole Beasley's camp body.
Yeah. Camp body. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, if he's taking first team reps, though, I mean, obviously they see something in him.
Well, I mean, he's 34 years old, and look at who the players in front of him at his position on the depth chart. You're talking about Jameson Crowder on the non-football injury list, talking about Wandale Robinson, talking about Sterling Shepard. All three of them are the two others are on the PUP list. So, you know, he has zero competition for the slot right now.
I mean, he is a veteran slot guy. He did have his fair share of, good years in Dallas and Buffalo.
He's bounced around the past few years. He's getting up there in age. I do think it's more of a he's a coach and a player at the same time. He's going to help the guys in the room. If there's injuries and we need him to stick, he sticks to the roster. But do I want one of these young guys we drafted or a Bryce Ford Wheaton who I liked as a rookie?
I love him.
His size and his athleticism. He's not going to make it to the practice squad. He's going to get picked up. So if he has a good camp and he looks good, do you want him or a Cole Beasley who, when everyone's healthy, may not play? I'd roll the dice on the young guy, the prospect, and see what we get there instead of seeing him go someplace else. And maybe he turns into a Victor Cruz type.
Oh, that'd be incredible.
I mean, at the end of the day, it comes down to health here, because you figure from a lock perspective, let's say that they carry seven and the guys at the bottom of that roster need to contribute on special teams as well. Hodgins, Slayton, Campbell, Jalen Hyatt. That's four locks right there. So we are talking about the likes of Sterling Shepard, Wandale Crowder, Colin Johnson, let's not forget, coming back from a ACL as well, I believe.
Yep. I really liked what I saw from him too.
All of these guys are competing for three spots on this depth chart. It comes down to health. I don't see Cole Beasley beating out Wandale or Shepard by any means.
I hope not.
Yeah, that'd be unfortunate.
That would be unfortunate. I mean, like, dude, we don't know what Sterling Shepard's going to be either. Like, I feel like that's the elephant in the room. You know, he is the longest tenured Giant. He's been in the league, what, 7-8 years now?
Yeah, it was the Michael Thomas draft. I forget off the top of my head, but he's on his second contract.
It was 2016, I believe.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Oh, I was in Dallas, actually, for his first game.
I think it's going to all play out over the preseason with health and everybody getting back, like we've been saying. But it was nice to be at Giants Stadium. Sorry, MetLife. The Jets do play there. But like Justin Tuck said, it'll always be Giants Stadium. being at the facility there, right next to the stadium.
Oh, it was awesome.
Beautiful day. We were both on dad duty, so we did get to take in, you know, the sights of practice, and also got to head into the family zone for, you know, throwing the football, kicking the football. Some, you know, got to meet LT Bobblehead and Eli. You know, got sucked into the gift shop. But it was nice to see when I first got there, the big acquisition of the offseason, I think, who I think will be our number one wide receiver, is tight end Darren Waller. He is a specimen. As advertised on all of the Giants social media channels and YouTube as well, he's a big man. He looks healthy. He was moving. He was full participant in all the drills. If he's healthy and stays on the field as he was the end of last year, he's going to be a weapon that Daniel Jones has never had before. And Bellinger was great as a rookie last year, but we look at that position. Our top tight end was a rookie who was expected to be more kind of a contributor as a blocker, and he'd catch some passes, but he was going to develop and was forced into, you know, being, you know, one of the guys on offense before his injury because of the lack of wide receiver depth. So I think not just those 14 wide receivers in the room, but that one tight end that really can play as a wide receiver is going to make a huge difference.
Well, I think that's the reality. And I mean, Giants fans and, you know, the pundits and me just a moment ago like to poke fun at the idea they have so many slot receivers on the depth chart. But when you look at the offenses where Kafka came from, when Dable was on the Patriots staff, the focal points of those offenses are tight ends, or, you know, have been in the past. So, you know, looking at this depth chart, and if you want to assume that, you know, Darren Waller is going to be the focal point of the passing attack, you know, it makes sense to complement him with shorter guys who can get quick separation off the line of scrimmage. So I don't know what that, if that bodes ill for the likes of a Colin Johnson, you know, trying to make the roster. But yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what Darren Waller can bring to the table and, you know, how Kafka uses him.
I'm excited, man. This offense has a lot of potential, maybe the most potential they've had in a long, long time. I just want to put up like 30 points like consistently, man. Like, I feel like all you see all these high flying offenses, and it's just like it doesn't happen too often for us, man. That's why that Colts game was so sweet, because they put up a lot of points.
And all we improved the Giants offensive fans line out too. There. Well, you know, let's just tie a nice little bow on this skill position on the wide receivers. Giants fans out there, you know, I hear you on the other podcasts and calling into Big Blue Kickoff Live. I see you on the message boards, and there's always a negative comment. Rejoice. This is a happy, happy day and a happy conversation for Giants fans everywhere, because I am looking at this depth chart, and not once have we mentioned the likes of David Sills, Khalil Pimpleton. We haven't even talked about Jeff Smith, who is another guy who is super fast, who might make that seventh receiver as a special teams contributor because he's super fast. Like, these guys were playing snaps for the Giants in NFL live games. We've been talking for years about these camp darlings that can't get separation against NFL caliber DBs. The floor of the New York Football Giants has been raised this offseason. I know you all wanted, you know, DeAndre Hopkins and other big time receivers, but the floor of this team is so much higher than it has been in years. And that is something to be excited about. And that's a testament to Joe Shane and the organization. But speaking of depth, big acquisition on the other side of the ball, Bobby Okereke. Who is going to be next to him? We have all offseason to gush over Bobby Okereke and what he's going to bring to the table here. But with Jerron Davis going down, what do we got in that linebacker room?
I mean, it's probably going to be Micah McFadden or Darian Beavers. The thing about Beavers is he's coming off the ACL as well. So it's like, I'm not sure how much or like, you know what I mean? You never know with the ACL. But I don't know. It's really wide open. It really is. Somebody could emerge.
Tommy, quite easily. Do you think he's on the roster? Whoever is going to be playing next to Okereke for the majority of this season, right now?
Yeah, I think you're looking at the guys listed right now: McFadden, Beavers, you know, Carter Coughlin down at the bottom of the depth chart. You know, as guys get cut and moves are made, does somebody else come on the roster? I think that's a possibility, but I think those two guys are going to get a shot. Micah McFadden, Darian Beavers are going to get that first crack at lining up next to Okereke when we're playing, you know, week one in September.
Yeah, I would recommend that anybody listening go ahead and listen to the interview with Beavers on the Giants Huddle podcast. Dude is fired up, ready to rock and roll. Sounds like he's healthy day one. Now, to your point, people come back from ACLs in all different ways. Sometimes takes, you know, another full year before they really get their feet back underneath them. But he's definitely got the right mentality, like what I heard from the young kid. So definitely rooting for him. But somebody's going to have to emerge, or we're going to be playing a significant amount of nickel and dime, as Wink was forced to do last year as well. But my money is on Jalen Smith being picked up sometime here on camp and just coming in and adding some rundown snap.
Yeah. You know, he was all right. He wasn't terrible with the Giants. I mean, he obviously took a step back from his college days and his first few years in the pros. But, you know, it's not terrible. It's definitely better. It's probably better than Tay Crowder.
With Beavers, you got to be happy that, you know, he wasn't the seventh guy on that pup list because of a knee injury. He was ready to go day one. So at least we're starting out from the standpoint of he was healthy enough to be on the field as, you know, a full participant in camp, not on the pup list, going from there.
So as we're talking about the churn of this depth chart and where we are going to be looking at some camp, you know, positional battles, boys, how are we feeling right now?
It's day one. You know, it's optimistic in the spring, right?
Of course.
How far is this team going to go?
I hope back to the playoffs, but like, you know, I'm also ready for disappointment. I'm ready to be hurt again because just the schedule really does us no favors. We got to stay on the West Coast for two games in what, four days. It's Sunday and Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, San Fran and Arizona.
Yeah, they're just staying out there.
I mean, that is just brutal, man. Especially coming off the first week after Dallas. I mean, we need to win that game, man. How many times did they come out Sunday Night Football in the past, against Dallas and just look flat, man?
Well, at least Arizona stinks. So
yeah, that's
good. They gotta win that game. Don't play down.
You know, maybe San Francisco still hasn't figured out their quarterback situation and starts the season slow. You never know. I mean, you know?
There's so many variables, man. Like, I want to be so optimistic. Like, we're going back to the playoffs, we're winning another playoff game. But, like, there's a possibility, like, we go 7-10, 8-9.
What a downer. Boo. Tommy, come on. Bubby. Boo. Listen, Tommy, just being real. It's the day of camp. Let's have some optimism, Tommy. How far? How improved is this team?
Outside of the summer heat, you know, hope springs eternal. Opening day of baseball season, that was kind of the feeling I had going into opening day of camp. It was like Christmas going in there today and seeing everybody out on the field and the season going after the high of beating the Colts, going into Minnesota, knocking off the Vikings, getting a playoff win under the team's belt. I believe this team could win the division because Philly needs to do everything right. Other than Philadelphia, the Cowboys have question marks, contract situations. Washington, new ownership, all the offseason stuff. Who's their quarterback, right? Sam Howell at this point. You got to go and take care of those games. You got to take care of the Arizonas that are on your schedule. You got to go and show that you could beat Philly and split with them, win that game when they.
Yeah, we got to go at least 3-3 in the division here.
And there's a window to that. They had a great year last year. They have to do the same thing again this year. I do agree, you know, with Tracksuit when it comes to if we look at the way that the Bills developed when. You know, their improvements were made, and Dable was there as your offensive coordinator. Shane was the assistant GM. That year two was a step back, but was a development year. So do I think that we could look at 9-8, 8-9, people be upset, but then look statistically and go, this was a better offense. We were scoring 30 points. This was a better defense. It was much improved. The position group
I hope that's the case.
Are deeper. I think that could be the case, but I think this team has the ability and added the weapons to be able to be more competitive with Philly, not go in there and get the doors blown off in a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that game though, everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong.
Went wrong. I'm not predicting the Giants are going out day one of camp, winning the division, but
it does sound like you are, though. If I'm being honest, it does sound like that.
They're back in the playoffs.
I hope if we host a playoff game, dude, after winning the division, like, I don't know what I'll give you, but I will give you something.
And I'll be out of the country. I'll be such a sad panda. But
where will you be?
I'll be visiting Roadhouse in the land down under.
Oh my god!
But my god, what a beautiful thing that I would wish upon all of you Giants. Tommy, you could have my tickets if the Giants get to the playoffs. My family might kill me for that. So you know, don't tell anybody. You know. We're recording. All right, boys. So we have both ends of the spectrum here of reality on optimism and some pessimism on day one. It's a beautiful thing. Let's give the boys one last parting shot before we move on here. As we're heading into the rest of the camp, out of everything we've talked about in any other position, Tommy, Tracksuit, number one camp battle that you are looking forward to that you want to see shake out over the next couple weeks?
Very interesting. I'm looking forward to be honest, the guard position with Bredesen, Izudu, Glowinski, Lemieux, like you don't know how that's going to shake out. You know, you hope that Azudu can take a step forward, but Ben Bredesen is like kind of like the veteran there. So is Mark Lewinsky, and he's still under contract for a while. I think that's going to be a position that they look to draft next year early, since they got the center this year. But I'm very interested to see what Azudu is going to do at left guard. I know it's not a sexy camp battle. I was an offensive lineman myself, so like I really like pay attention to the offensive line. It's not, you know, definitely wide receiver too. It's such a log jam.
No, the left guard is absolutely up in the air, and it's super critical. It's the biggest question. Well, you know, we'll get into the offensive line, but yeah, left guard absolutely going to be very interesting. Tommy, what do you got?
That battle in the middle linebacker spot. Who's going to be playing next to Akira Kay? Is it going to be McFadden, Beavers? Is it going to be a platoon type situation where we see a little bit of both of them until someone takes the job? I'm sure those two are going to be playing a lot, you know, to see who is going to fill that spot alongside Bobby. So that's the one that I'll be looking at.
And let's roll right into four down territory. And this is our segment where we list the top four things the Giants need to focus on coming up. This week, it's the biggest offseason improvements by position. Tracksuit, you're up first.
So for first down, I've got the linebacker position, where last year we had Tay Crowder, Landon Collins, and Micah McFadden. Versus this year, it's Okereke and Beavers. I mean, Okereke.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I can't spell it. That's for damn sure. I mean, I'm way more. I mean, I feel like he carries that position now way more for this year. That's a massive, massive, you know. Because Tay Crowder, like, yeah, he had that one, like, fumble recovery touchdown. But, like, since then, it's been, you know, a lot of ups and downs. He's not even on the team anymore. He tweeted, like, free me, and they released him. Then he was back. It was like, what are we doing here? And I feel like that was definitely a position that they wanted to secure. And I'm glad we got Bobby O.
I don't know why you're being so coy and polite, Tracksuit Mike. Let's just call it what it is. The Giants' middle linebacker position for the better part of the last decade, and certainly the last few years, has been a white, steaming pile of dog shit. As we said earlier, Bobby Okereke is perhaps the best middle linebacker the Giants have had, certainly since Michael Boley and perhaps since Antonio Pierce. We finally have a legit side-to-sideline, three-down, fast, speedy guy commanding the middle of the tank commander, Wink Martindale, his defense. Let's fucking go. Tommy, second down. What do you got for me?
A lot of talk about the wide receiver room today, so let's look at last year's wide receivers, or the wide receivers that really didn't do much. Kenny Golladay, the $18 million man, who's still a free agent if anybody wants to sign him. We know what'll happen. He'll, you know, catch five touchdowns in the first 3 weeks of the year. Richie James, who, thank you very much, Richie, is in Kansas City and may be in a great landing spot. He'll probably see the field more than Kadarius Toney, who's already taken time off with an injury in camp. And now we went out, we signed Paris Campbell, we traded for Darren Waller, we drafted Jalen Hyatt. We brought guys in to make this room better. We also have guys that are coming back. Hopefully they're healthy, in a Sterling Shepard and, you know, Darius Slayton. So the room is improved. Isaiah Hodgins, who was a diamond in the rough last year, he's back. Just the guys that weren't here last year, though, you look at Hyatt, Paris Campbell, Waller. Hyatt doesn't have to come in and be a stud rookie wide receiver. These other guys are going to contribute. Waller's going to contribute from the tight end position. Daniel Jones has more options, more, I think, dependable options that he's gonna have at his disposal here, along with Saquon Barkley, who then doesn't have to be 40% of your offense, because now you have a wide receiver room and a tight end room that's capable of contributing.
I'm only going to say one word, Giants fans. Speed. Speed, baby. That's what they all got in common. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tracksuit Mike, we're back to you. Third down.
Oh, third down, we have the center position. John Feliciano versus John Michael Schmidt. I mean, listen, Feliciano, yes, he was a veteran, but he was definitely in the lower class of centers. I believe that we got one of the best, if not the best, center prospects in the whole draft. And he's going up against Dexter Lawrence every day. That's only going to make him better. I think this is a massive, massive upgrade. And hopefully the guy that's feeding the ball to Daniel Jones for as long as he's on the team and maybe even the quarterback after that. We'll see.
It's got to be a hit. Plain and simple.
It's got to be. It has to be. This is big. He might have his lumps to begin with. He might.
Hey, doesn't have to be an all-pro, but this position needs to be solidified.
Absolutely.
And that's the end of the story.
Yeah, 100%.
Tommy, bring it home. Fourth down.
I'm going to go to the defensive side of the ball for fourth down. We're going from a Fabian Monroe to the consensus top corner in the draft, possibly, in Deontay Banks out of Maryland. Big improvement. Makes us more competitive against the likes of A.J. Brown and C.D. Lamb, having a guy like him out there. I think that's huge because of the struggles that we had defensively in the secondary last year. Speed. It helps. You know, you got to compete with these other teams, what they're putting up on the offensive side of the ball. And I want to stay on defense real quick and give a shout out to Ryder Anderson. Spent a little time at the fence with my son today, took a quick picture, talked to us for a real quick second, signed some autographs for all the kids, was one of the only guys that was out there in the heat afterwards. There were some guys still working out, so we'll be rooting for him through camp and the preseason and see him around. Second year pro that was an undrafted free agent.
We love it. Thank you, Ryder, for being nice to little Tommy. And that does it for four down territory. And let's move right on to what the F would that look like. And this is where we posit a hypothetical and discuss what the world would look like if that were to come true.
What the F would it look like if Evan Neal and John Michael Schmitz play like top OL?
OL, sorry, made me LOL.
I'm on Burgundy?
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter? For the last time, anything you put on that prompter, Burgundy will read.
And now I feel like I'm in a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, but I digress. That was for you, Roadhouse. He's rolling over in his grave. He's very much alive. I digress again. So that would look like the Giants are rolling, baby. This is what we're talking about. I can contain my excitement no longer.
Yeah, top 10 offense.
Yeah, this is not just are they playing well. This is a top O-lineman. So you're looking at an elite left tackle. You're looking at top 10 play from your center and your right tackle. Frankly, as Glowinski plays what he's played his entire career, which is at exactly average pretty much, the left guard would have to kill over. We could play left guard, and this Giants offensive line would look like the best that it has been since 2007, 2008. And Barkley behind a line like that? He might actually just get fucking paid then.
Yeah, and it probably won't be by us. Womp womp.
And I'm gonna date myself because I'll go further back. And if that happens, Schmidt and Evan Neal, who's developing a little slower than Andrew Thomas, obviously, but if he shows some more development and turns into the type of lineman that we have on the left side, the type of offensive tackle there, it takes us back to 1990 where you had a Jumbo Elliott, William Roberts, Bart Oates, you know, these road graders, these giant.
Oh, my dad always talks about Bart Oates. He loves Bart Oates.
Parcells guys. I love me a center, and I would love to be able to go out and get a John Michael Schmitz jersey to wear to the games.
And me too, and I'll tell you why.
I would love to see this guy develop into what they were saying on draft day that he was, and steal as not even the first center to go off the board, but the center that we wanted.
No, 100%. I mean, thing about JMS, he wears the number I wore in my ill-fated high school career.
You were so a center, right?
Oh yeah, that's why it hits different for me. So if he is the real deal, I will get his jersey, 100%.
Yeah, look, Bart Oates, Brian Williams, Sean O'Hara, guys at center that were all pros, were on Super Bowl champion New York Giants teams. It's an important position, and we haven't had something there that was a guy that was, this guy is a center. We're moving guards. We're moving tackles. We're moving guys from the outside to the inside. We have utility offensive linemen playing there. This guy could be one of those guys that is a Pro Bowl all-star center.
And the thing about Evan Neal is, yes, there should be Giants fans. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, don't worry about it. You're an asshole for even bringing it up. Like, oh, let the kid play. Look, the Giants have been burned before by hyper-athletic offensive tackles with technique issues and balance issues. I get it. But listen to his interviews. Listen to the kid speak. Listen to what the things people around him are saying. Even if he doesn't have a meteoric rise in the way that Andrew Thomas did as early as, you know, the second half of his rookie year, let's be honest, let alone second and third years, the kid got injured. I know this is what the F would have looked like, and we're talking about them playing out of their minds. But for the love of God, the Giants, Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley have never had an offensive line that has just been average for their entire NFL careers. If anything, I'm not sure if it's been much more than bottom, you know, three, bottom five, certainly bottom quartile.
I mean, also the thing about Barkley is, dude, look at the offensive line. He won Rookie of the Year behind, dude, Chad Wheeler. Was the fucking
fuck star. That dude. Fuck yeah. Chad Wheeler.
Yeah, fuck yeah. That guy. I'm just saying. That's how low we were.
His average, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but the dude had his average, like, first missed tackle was technically behind the line of scrimmage, like, for the season. Like, that's what he did against, you know, dodging people before he even got the ball, essentially, was unbelievable. Can you imagine unleashing his athleticism when he's actually running downhill and setting up blocks instead of having to just dodge everyone his whole time? We saw a glimpse of that last year, and they still weren't a great offensive line. That opportunity exists, even if John Michael Schmidt just comes in and gives us middle of the road NFL starting caliber center play, and Evan Neal plays like a top 10 draft pick, not offensive tackle. Let's get to average, baby, and I think you're really going to see this team take off. That speed will have time to get downfield. Barkley's going to be with a head of steam. Daniel Jones, for the love of God, might not get sacked 40 plus times. I'm excited. Fuck.
Me too. I'm hyped, honestly. Yeah, I was a little pessimistic, but I'm just putting out the reality of the situation.
I'm hyped, honestly. I'm really hyped.
I'm so hyped, bro.
I'm track two, Mike, and I'm here to party. And I'm
excited. I mean, I can't wait. I'm not gonna lie. Like, that Sunday night football is gonna be incredible.
Tommy, bring us home, baby. Let's get out of here.
I'm excited. It was nice to be out at camp today, see some real football, you know, being played, being practiced, whatever. It was great to see the boys on the field. I look forward to opening weekend. Stay healthy. Have a nice, healthy camp. That's all we could ask for. And let's get to week one.
All right, boys, let's end tonight with the fact that the Lions, coming up on August 11th, not far away, are not aware. The Giants are young.
They're aggressive.
They're improving.
New York
football.
Giants.
Ah! God, I love that. For Tracksuit Mike and Rahway Tommy, I'm Mac, and we're Big Blue all goddamn day.
I'm back in the New York blue. I'm back.